Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning or good afternoon. This is George Gamond, and welcome to the show. I know some people might have a hard time finding me. Well, I've rebranded myself, or I'm rebranding myself, and this came from this weekend. I was sitting with a friend of mine. We meet every Saturday, and Don's a pretty, well, really interesting person, and I really respect him a lot and his opinions, and we've been meeting together, and we've been friends for a long time, over 10 years now. And I got talking about the show and how the radio show and how I want to expand it, how I'd like it to grow. It seems that expand the numbers of people that actually get to hear the show. So I thought about that. And in the category I was in, well, let me give you a background. If you don't know anything about me, and let me just kind of really get to the cliff notes of who I am and what I've been doing for the last 20-something years. I've been a hypnotherapist. And a channel, I'm basically a channel, so that's primary gift from, and an empath are my gifts. Channel, empath, hypnotherapist, led a lot of meditations, did a lot of things, Reiki, practitioner, all this sort of thing. And did a lot of psychic readings. I have psychic lines, and, you know, I worked through a metaphysical bookstore and did readings for there. But, sometimes the handwriting is on the wall, because I am not a traditional psychic. I'm an empath. I'm a channel. But I'm more about inspiration. In the last 10, 15 years, I don't know how long it is, I've been studying the law of attraction and the principles of the law of attraction and how to manifest things in your life. And one of the things that stands out in my understanding is that through our thoughts and through our emotions and through our beliefs, we create our own world. Thoughts are very powerful. Thoughts are how it all comes about. And then we have to have congruency in our feelings and our emotions. Let me get into why I'm changing. Because I really believe that the spiritual thing is really, really cool. And it's really cool, and I'm a very spiritual person. But I moved from the hit category from spirituality to self-help, because that's what I'm really all about, is inspiring you to go from ego to living by higher consciousness. And I use my spirit guides to help you with that, and my empathic abilities to do that, and if we have to delve into past lives, we can do that. But it really is all about what your soul wants you to be doing. What you have set is your intention and how to get there. So it's not about what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. Well, there's a little bit of what. But it's not about when things are going to happen. Like, when am I going to get a boyfriend? That's the reason, one of the reasons I was no longer doing readings at a metaphysical bookstore, because the owner of the store, and there was a change in ownership, and she basically said, you're a teacher. You're not the traditional psychic that people want to see. And that was like, oh, blow to my ego. Oh, my God. I can't take that back. So, okay. So I'll get to your questions in a minute. If anybody wants to call in and talk to me about any of this, we can do that. Now, again, and I emphasize this to a lot of my older clients who've been around with me for years, and I really do emphasize the fact it's not about when something's going to happen or even if it's going to happen. It's about how do you make it happen. Or can you make it happen? What does your soul want you to do? Does it, yes or no? Does it want something in your life or not want something in your life? And you can even muscle test this. And I don't want to get into the description about muscle testing and how you do that, but you can prove it to yourself if you want something. Interesting thought, right? Okay, if you're interested, I can explain the process and its kinesiology. And chiropractors use it. A lot of medical practitioners use it to test certain things and test your sensibility to things, what's good for you, what's bad for you, yes or no's. So if you're interested, we can do that. I've been reading books by authors David R. Hawking explains a lot about this in a couple of books, Power versus Force, and his newest book that he just put out just before he died, which is called Letting Go. And I'm really going to buy into this letting go process because it really ties into this whole idea of the law of attraction and manifesting what you want in your life. And it's about letting go of negativity in your life, negative emotions, which are based from thoughts, all emotions come from thoughts, or they're interrelated at a very strong level. Now, some teachers teach that you get and you install it into your cellular level, which is a tough place to put it, you know. If you have a negative teaching and it's at the cellular level, you got problems, right? But you can get rid of it. You can release it. It's all about releasing this negativity, moving it to a positive place, raising your consciousness, getting from ego, absorbing your ego into your higher consciousness. And we get into all that. That's kind of things. And then with the other things. So that's why I moved to self-help from spirituality. Okay, so let me see if I can answer a question in the chat room. You know, I try to tap in empathically to you, and the energy that comes strong, and I'm trying to verify this, and let me, I'm going to use a little muscle testing on myself, because this is cool, this is the way to tap into the higher energies, and I'm going to test a little bit real quick, and if I'm getting the right answer. So the right answer I would say to you is make a choice. Make a choice and follow through on it. Make a choice and stick with one. Make a choice. You can't live in two worlds, right? You can't have one foot in one side of the fence and one foot on the other side of the fence and find peace. You have to make a choice that you want to pursue. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about them making a choice, because you have to make a choice first. And then you have to put it out to the universe. This is the one I want. Okay, God, this is the one I want. This is where my energy is. This is where my love is. I'm going to let one go, and I'm going to focus my energy on this one person. So it really is your choice. Which one? It's not which one the universe says is a better choice for you. You have to follow your own intuitiveness, your own empathic skills, your own psychic abilities, whatever that you would call it. You need to choose and pursue it. Well, and sometimes your choices are, you know, other people tell you things, and you make a choice based on the information you get. You know, it's not all about gut, but, you know, your intuitiveness is this person lying to me, you know. So you just make a choice, A or B. Make a choice. If you love somebody and they don't want you, if it's a one-sided love, then you're never going to get it. You just have to put it away. You have to let it go. If you have any negative energy about the situation, any negative energy about one person or the other, you have to figure out where your negative energy is, where your negative emotions. And why, you know, if you love somebody, why do you love somebody? You know, because that word love is really tricky, really, really, really tricky, because it's a feeling, it's an emotion. And sometimes it's misplaced. Now, I'm not saying it is here, but you have to decide, is it misplaced? Is it selfish? That's a big one. Is it selfish? Is it just about you? Because if you love somebody, and you really love somebody, it is reciprocal. You can't really love somebody unless it's reciprocal. Well, but even parents, you know, you have a disjointed child and so forth, but you love a child. But at some level, it is reciprocal. Your child still loves you, right? Even if you're, you know, no longer together, but, you know, there's some hard feelings, but there's love. And that's a different kind of love. When you're talking romantic love, it really needs to be both sides. And there's principal love, what they call agape love, and there's eros, which is more of a romantic love, not in a negative way, but in a positive way. And then there's a couple other kinds of love. Philia, blah, 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 whatever it is. It's about friends and family and so forth. And then there's another form of love. It's just like love of your country. So that's in the Greek. And then sometimes we lump everything under one word of love. It's different feelings and different emotions. So if it's a romantic kind of love, now, agape love, in this sense, is a principle love. It's unconditional love. I will love this person forever, but it's not necessarily romantic. It's because I love this person. Okay? Because I love the person because of who they are and what they do and they accomplish. I could say I love the Dalai Lama. Okay? It's a principle love. I really love the Dalai Lama for what he stands for. And I don't agree with everything the Dalai Lama says and so forth. I don't agree with everything St. Francis says, the Catholic Pope, but I could say I love the Catholic Pope because he has made a lot of really good stands for humanity and for the poverty, for poor, for middle class people. He really believes in the uprising of the middle class versus the rich. So I could say I love that man. But it's a principle love. But when you're really in love with someone, a person, and it's reciprocal, it goes back and forth, then you have that romantic love, that romance. And that's a good carrying love. But then you have the agape love, the principle love. You love this person because of who they are. Because you know in God you both love each other, and you love your relationship and your friends. And, you know, you have all those reins, all of those parameters of the word love, and all those definitions of the word love fall into a place where you're really in love with somebody. But it has to be reciprocal. One-sided love can be agape, because I don't think the Dalai Lama might love me as in general in humanity, but he doesn't love me as an individual. So you can say that to have all of those, it has to be reciprocal. Okay, so you need to let this go. You need to make a choice. Stick with one. That's what I hear for you. Make a choice. Stick with one. Put the energy out there. Visualize it. Feel it. Touch it. Smell it. Whatever it takes. And, you know, I'm really hearing for you more than that is just ask the universe for love. Reciprocal love. Mutual love. And be open to that. Don't be closed-minded. It has to be, don't put a name on it. If one or the other is not working, don't put a name on it. When you're asking, praying, meditating on it, just leave it open. Leave it open-ended. I want to be in love. I want a mutual love. I want somebody that cherishes me and I cherish them and we're together. That's all it is. And if it's that person, cool. Now, you can put that vision of that person behind it, cool. But if it doesn't work out, be open to love, because that's what you want. You want love. And you've attached love to an individual. I mean, I'm not trying to be harsh. That's kind of what I'm getting. So we'll move on. That's not the intent of the show, is to get into somebody's love life, particularly because you have to make a choice. And you have to be open to love, right? Okay, so what was I doing today? Oh, so as I change directions, And I move from the spirituality into the self-help, which I really am. Because even when I was in the business world, I was a mentor. I helped inspired people to achieve greatness or achieve the next level of wherever they're going in the business world. I was about inspiring people. I was about emotion and moving through emotion into a better place. And that's what I'm about. And I being a channel, I like to hear what my spirit guides have to say about the subject, right? That's really it is. And in all those years of being the traditional psychic, it was kind of frustrating for me. It really was. And that's why that metaphysical bookstore thing didn't work out. And they said, you're a teacher. You're not really the traditional psychic. Yeah, okay, good. I can go with that. And I was doing a psychic line for years. And they said, oh, well, you know what? You're not you're more about inspiring people. You're more about the law of attraction. You're not really connecting at the level of the kind of people. Okay? So really, that's what it's about. I'm really about inspiring you to go from ego to higher consciousness. And if you raise your consciousness, if you let go of the negativity in your life, and the negative feelings and the negative emotions, and you raise your consciousness, all of this will seem really simple, and it'll all fall into place. It's like the locks and the lock, you know, on a safe. The clicker, it will click all into place by just letting go of negativity. the negative feelings, the negative emotions, letting go of the ego, surrendering the problem, saying, I've got a problem, I'm going to surrender it, I'm going to let it go. Okay? So, let me, you know what I was going to do because of this thought and change of where a direction I want to go with this show? I was going to let my spirit guides talk to you. Maybe you want to stay with me or not, that's your choice, but I wanted to let them talk to you for a few minutes. And as I did, and I changed my write-up basically says I'm presenting articles that will help you inspire you. Inspire you to be healthy, to be happy. It's all about happiness and joy and love. So it's really getting to that level of love. And that's letting go of the negativity in one's life. And I really, truly believe that. And I've kind of focused myself on that, too. I thought, I'm not going to watch violence. I'm going to watch inspirational, funny drama that has human, that inspires the human existence, the human being. Drama or art stories that really inspire people and look at people and examine people's lives so we can learn something more about living a more inspired life. Okay? That's what I'm about. So I've decided that the violent movies, even though they're fun sometimes, and, you know, the Transformer movies, all the special effects are kind of cool, but they're basically violent. People die. Right? I love mysteries, but people die. There's violence. There's no love. Well, I shouldn't say there's no love. I've seen a few that do have more of a, you know, a undertone of love and family and so forth, you know, but the premise of a lot of this stuff is negativity, violence. Violence solves problems. And I've decided, no, that's not why I want to live. That's not why I entertain myself. I want to entertain myself with inspirational material, funny material. And if there's drama, it has an ending that's not necessarily based on violence, based on understanding and forgiveness, and coming to recognize each other as humans. Is that, you know, and there's a lot of parental child, you know, adult child and adult parents, older parents, coming to the recognition and respect for each other. That's the lessons I love to see and I like to watch in movies. I just watched the movie The Judge with Robert Downey Jr. and what's his name, right? But the bottom line is forgiveness. The bottom line was coming to accept people, accepting each other, and seeing each other who they really are, and learning to respect each other. And in the movie, Robert Downey Jr. plays an attorney. He's now living in New York, and his father is a judge in Indiana. And he's accused of killing or murdering somebody with a car who was one of his, who came before him, you know, in trial. And he really disliked this person because of his actions. So he's accused of murdering this person, first degree murder. And he's also going through chemotherapy for a form of cancer. But it was the reconciliation of the father and son that was what the movie was about. And the son once asked, Robert Downey Jr. asked his father, who's the greatest attorney or the best attorney you've ever known? And they ho-hummed about it and they did some answers. But at the very end of the movie, and I'll give you the end, okay, whatever. You know, I don't know if you're going to watch it, if you've seen it. The very end, his father says, it's you. It's you. You're the best attorney. So there finally became this respect between two people, father and son. And I like those kind of stories. And I think that's inspiring that you, even all the problems that you have with each other, you can get to that place of respecting each other, even with the problems in your lives. So what am I rambling about? It's about changing attitude about what I want to watch, what I want to be entertained with. I want to raise my soul. I want to raise to a higher consciousness. And that's why I'm here, to help you somehow, some way, raise your consciousness so that all of that stuff in your life that seems like a big, huge deal and you can't solve will just kind of resolve itself. And you go, I got it. It's done. It's over. I got it. And that's letting go negative thoughts, negative emotions, and negative behavior, and only living from love and peace, and reaching a place of internal peace. The only way you get to a place of internal peace is by letting go of the negativity, negative emotions, negative thoughts, negative beliefs that have held you down. The illustration that I like to use, I am going to let my spirit guides talk to you, and perhaps they are talking to you through this, but this dissertation, I use the thing of a balloon. You know, the balloons that you take up into the sky, right? Yeah, I'm losing my track of thoughts here. But you want to get into a balloon and balloon fight light, and you have the carriage that you sit in, and then there's bags on the carriage to keep it grounded. You know, they're sandbags, right? And you might want to refer that, relate that to you wanting to raise your higher consciousness and go to a higher level. The sandbags that are keeping you down from getting to that place are your negative thoughts, negative emotions, and negative beliefs. Once you can drop these sandbags off of you like you would do on a hot air balloon, you drop the bags, you drop the negativity in your life, then you start to soar, then you start to raise your consciousness. Then you get to a level where everything seems to fall into place in your life. Everything happens. Now, in the Abraham material and some other things, you come into a vibrational match with what you want. You raise your consciousness. You get into the vortex, is what they call it. So different teachers teach basically the same thing, but what they're trying to tell you in so many words, and that's why I'm here to help you with, if I can in some way, is to let go of those bags, to let your hot air soar and let you raise to a higher consciousness. Once you get into the higher consciousness, then you're completely connected with all that there is, God, universe, whatever you call it, and things start to happen in your life. Positive things start to happen because your focus is on positive things. Your focus is on love. Your focus is on internal peace. Your focus is on hope. Your focus is on joy. Your focus is on laughter. Your focus is on doing well for others, to being generous, to be kind. That's where your focus is. Your focus is not on the problems that you have, the negativity. You have a problem, you turn it over. You let it go. You release it. You don't focus on it. You don't spend all your time analyzing, thinking about your problems. You release your problems. You go, okay, I'm turning it over to my higher consciousness. I want to get to this level of higher consciousness. Turn it over to God, and then match up with the answer. Simple. Done. Yeah, right. Yeah. And most people, and I know that's not as easy as said, but that's the goal. That should be our goal as humans, is to live in that higher consciousness place, that divine connected place. You're living from your soul, because your soul is already in that divine place. Your soul is already at the level of higher consciousness. So living from your soul and not your ego. Letting go of the ego, absorbing the ego into the higher consciousness. And a lot of authors talk about this, and a lot of teachers talk about this. And it's not dwelling in the negativity. But let me have my spirit guides talk to you about this whole subject now. And then I'll come back, because as I mentioned before, I'm changing direction and rebranding myself from spirituality into self-help, because that's really where I'm at anyway. I put myself under the spirituality heading because I thought, yeah, let's just do the show and psychic readings and maybe I'll get all these people to do readings for and they'll send me money. But no, that's not me. I mean, it's not that I don't want money and I don't want your support and your assistance, and I would love you to help me, support me in some way or by sessions with me. But the point is, it's really about inspiring you and myself. The more I inspire you, the more I inspire myself. There's a little bit of selfishness there, right? Okay, so let me go away and let spirit guides talk to you about this whole topic and why they're pushing me this direction. I guess that would be the thing, because I get this nudging from spirit. Do this, do this, do this. Okay. Going away now. Well, George pretty well summarized it, of what our intent was, and what our intent was with all humans. You know, it's not just this particular host that we talk through. We talk through a lot of people. We help a lot of people understand and channel messages to thousands and millions of people throughout your planet with the intent of helping you to embrace love, to embrace unconditional love. That's what it's all about, to embrace love. To learn about loving yourself first, and then loving those around you. Part of love, and as we've been explaining lately, is having empathy for other people. Understanding where they came from. Understanding their conditions. Understanding why they do what they do. Now, in some extreme cases, and you're going, well, you can't understand some of these people. But you can understand even those the most violent people in your world. That, and not that we want to excuse their violence and the fact that they perpetuate violence on other people and do things because of their pride. And we use the word pride here, which is, pride is I'm right, you're wrong. Pride is, it's about me. It's about my religion. It's about my way of being. I'm right, you're wrong. That's extreme pride. And that's what these people are dealing from. But it's dealt from fear. It's dealt from fear. No, we don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but we want to emphasize that our purpose is to help people to raise to a level of consciousness worth love. Loving one yourself, loving other people, and understanding why is it the way they are, not condoning their actions, not supporting violence, not supporting their causes, but sending love. If you can create a love-based society, those people who are perpetuating violence and hatred and pride and egocentric activities will eventually dissipate. They will eventually go away. They will no longer be gaining their power. They gave their power from the energy they get from other people through fear. Okay? Got it? Understand that. They gain their power through fear. But if their fear is dissipated, if their fear is no longer recognized, if their fear is no longer given back to them, they no longer receive their power, they will dissipate and they will go away. Will they change? They will self-destruct. They may not change, but they will self-destruct. In some way, somehow, they will lose their power. But love does that. Empathy does that. But loving yourself and not giving out to fear. Not giving them fear to live up. Okay, so we won't get into all that. But that, in this particular host and others we talk through, the emphasis really is about helping you to raise your consciousness, helping you to be connected to your souls, to the divine nature of who you really are, to be connected to love. Now, we really like this word that George has been reading about and studying about, the word peace. We really like that because it's a feeling and it's emotion. It's not peace in the world. I mean, that would be great. But it's about internal peace. Now, we've been talking about this lately, so if we seem rather repetitious, it's really important that we're repetitious on this. Because it is about coming to this level of internal peace, where you're at peace with yourself. You're at peace with your actions. You're at peace. You're not judging yourself. You're not shameful. You're not guilty. You're not self-destructive. You're not self-deprecating. You're at peace with who you are. You know you'll change. You know you'll grow. You know that you'll make mistakes and you'll learn from your mistakes and you will move forward in your lives. And that every experience that you have that doesn't feel right at the time, you can change it. That you will learn to live from peace. You will learn to live from love. You will learn to love yourself. And you will learn to, in loving yourself, know yourself and who you are and your intent and your purpose in life. And you'll be able to focus yourself on that. And from this, and this is really important for humans to understand, the key word here is trust. Trusting yourself, trusting your divine connection. We would say trusting your soul to give you the guidance that you need to achieve what you want in your life. Your soul is your connection to the divine. Your soul is that part of you that you brought with you when you got into a physical body, that soul is so connected to higher energies, higher sources, where all wisdom, knowledge comes from. You should be honoring your soul, basically what you're saying. You should trust your soul. Then you learn to connect with your soul. And as you raise your consciousness, you connect with your soul. And so as you develop trust in your soul, trust in that your soul is giving you the guidance and direction that you want, making choices becomes easier in your life. You don't become fearful about making choices because you know it's the right choice. You know it's a choice that's going to work for you. You know it's a choice that's going to bring you to what you want in life. Because when you start to make choices, when you have to make decisions, and if you, the word fear comes into play here, and you're overwhelmed by fear, and you hesitate because of fear, and you procrastinate because of fear, you're not listening to your soul. Because from your soul becomes a knowing that you're doing the right thing at this time in your life. It may change in 10 years, 5 years, even a year from now, but at this point in time, if you have that knowing within you, that feeling, that emotion of, I just know this is the thing to do, then it's coming from your soul. And you make those choices. Then there's lessons in choices. It's a growth in choices. Every choice you make is not the end choice of your life. You will make other choices. You will move forward. But you have to believe and understand and have trust that your soul sees all of you and where your what your purpose is and where you're headed and the outline of your life, and that you can tap into that. So getting back to what we were saying, and getting back to, we could go on and on about all of this because it's really important for you to understand all this about tapping into your soul, making decisions that are soul-based, not ego-based. So we emphasize this, George and others like him that do this kind of work, that it really is about helping you to recognize this in yourself, that you have the ability to make wonderful choices that will get you to what you want in life. And you will get the direction that are the soul base to do so. But by raising your consciousness and letting go of those fear-based thoughts, ideas, beliefs, feelings, emotions, you achieve it. That's what we're trying to teach. And that's what we're trying to get people to understand. Let go of your ego. Your ego is good about driving a car. Your ego is good about doing a mathematical formula. But your ego is not good about making choices that are soul-based. Understand that. Your ego does not make soul-based choices. Your ego analyzes things. Your ego overanalyzes. Your ego repeats the same things that you have learned from in school and other places, but it doesn't tap into that spiritual essence of who you are. So we'll leave you that. Let you think about that for a while. Contemplate that one. So that's why we emphasize for people like George to put their energy into inspiring you to raise your consciousness. Thank you for listening. Bye. Okay, I'm back. You know, it takes me a while to come out of that. They take me deep in this whole process. Okay, we're halfway through the show. Anybody wants to call in, you want a soul reading, what if your soul's intent is. That's what it's really about, your soul's intent for now, future, you know, where you're going, how to get there. It's about how to get there. Not necessarily what's going to happen. It's about making choices. And if you're interested, and I've been into this kinesiology, the muscle testing, I can teach you, if you're interested, a very simple way to do muscle testing where you can tell from your inner being, your higher self, your soul, yes or no. Even simple things like going to the market and do a muscle testing, and it's not obvious and people can't look at you and go, wow, you're strange. What are you doing? You know? Yeah, if you've heard about muscle testing, there's a very simple process in doing it. It's very easy to do. And you can test what foods are good for you. Which are better for you. Which one would respond better to your healing in your body, in your diet, or whatever you're trying to do. Which foods, which books are better for you to read. Which TV shows are better for you to read, watch. Which movie is their better choice for your soul? What does your soul want you to do? What would be the most inspirational thing to do? To watch? To read? To eat? You can even do it in relationships, the choosing of people. You can muscle test. What your soul, your higher consciousness, wants you to do, as in selecting a partner. And I can teach you how to do that. It's simple. I've studied it. I've read books on it. I've done it with people. Done it myself. Done it with people. We've worked with it. It's a very simple process. If you have two friends or a friend to do it with, it's even more effective, but you can do it by yourself. Willing to learn, contact me. I don't want to spend the show on that. I got some articles to cover, and I thought I'd go into that a little bit. A couple articles. If you want to call in, if you have any other questions in the chat room about your soul and what your soul's intent is on a particular topic, let's make sure we get into specific topics. And I need your first name and month and day of your birth. That helps me connect with you, your energy. As an empath, I need to connect with your energy as best I can. Yeah, it's funny. You know, I've been dating, and I've been meeting people, and I seem to meet people through regular dating sites. I mean, there are a lot of strange people out there, women, and I think they're women. I don't know who they are, right? They're trying to contact you, and I know that all they want is money, which, yeah, okay, right, yeah, money. We're just going to give it all away, but that's funny. But they just want to chat. You know, email. And I find that rather interesting because I'm an empath. And I need to feel their energy. On the telephone, in person, I need to meet somebody. I need to sit across from them. And I need to talk to them on the telephone to get their energy, to feel the energy, to feel the connection. And there's such a resistance to that. And I don't know why. I'm in society. And I seem to meet people from a long distance, which is like, okay, they don't even want to talk to the telephone. And I think there's something wrong with that. What do you think? You know, have anybody date or has been dating and they meet men that don't want to talk, don't want to communicate, don't want to meet in person. They just want to chat. They don't want to send emails back and forth. They just want pen pals. And I find that so bizarre. What do you think? Okay. My opinion. I'm just getting into my opinion. And for me, it's about connecting on that energy level, to know somebody on an energy level, just chatting doesn't do it. I tried doing chatting readings and it didn't work for me. It doesn't give me the intensity of the energy, feeling somebody's energy. So we'll get into this. I got articles, 10 ideas for bringing more laughter into your life is one. 8 ways meditation. Eight ways meditation can boost your creativity. I thought that was a cool article. That's why I use a lot of these articles, and I kind of put that in my little blurb. But I use these articles because they're inspiring. They try to raise your consciousness at some level in some way, whether it's about health, whether it's about things that you can do to be happy, purpose. Any article that I thought was kind of fun, and you might not, yeah, whatever. You know, I think this is kind of a cool one. It's about sex. Is sex life? Is your sex life aging well? And I thought, this is kind of fun. Let's do this one. Okay, so unless you have a question or thought or want to call in or anything you want to talk about, I'm going to do this. Now, I may lose you or I may gain you. I don't know. But it was an interesting article, and I answered the questions in the quiz, and I got probably half of them wrong. So I'll tell you where I'm coming from, right? What percentage of people over 45 are satisfied with their sex life? Now, I read through this already, and I took the quiz already, but I'll give it to you. And I was really surprised by the answer, because the alternatives here for an answer are 19%, 31%, 51%, or 61%. 19, 31, 51, or 61. Now, you can think in your mind or write it down what you think is the answer, but I'll go to the answer. I thought it was really surprising. I was like at 31%. 1 out of 3, maybe, roughly. But the answer was 51%. This is from WebMD, and this is from a doctor. It was, okay. It doesn't give me the sources, all the sources here, but it's from WebMD. It was reviewed by Jennifer Robinson, who's an MD. So, you know, the statistics seem to be fairly accurate, right? Does sex get better as you age? Most people over 45 think so. They say that they are either somewhat or extremely satisfied with their sex life. 31% are neither satisfied nor dissatisfied. And 23% of men and 14% women say that they are dissatisfied. And, you know, and you hear from other people and you go, wait a minute, it's only 14% of women. Yeah, it's like, wait a minute. It seems to be all these things that in the media say women are just dissatisfied with their sex lives and blah, blah, blah. No, it's a really small percentage. Why are things so good? Experts say that sex lives of older people often benefit them more from experience and sexual confidence and from relationships that have matured to a greater level of trust and intimacy. And I'm not talking about, you know, older dating couples, but they're talking about relationships that have been together for a certain amount of trust with intimacy. Knowing each other is really important and not being selfish, right? As you get older, it's normal to want less sex. True or false? That one was pretty much a given, I thought. The answer is true. As people age, their sexual desire usually decreases. This is true for men and women. Men have fantasies, but, you know, the actual desire kind of shrinks. Although the women are 2 to 3 times more likely than men to see their sex drive decline. And this is really important point in this article about men being understanding of women. Being understanding of women. And I really get from this, let me finish this article, but the thought that really comes through is really strongly about intimacy. You can blame lower hormones or some other changes, but issues or conflicts with their partner, medical problems or cultural issues all play a role. And as long as someone is healthy, then it's really only a problem that bothers them. But I don't really, I get the idea, the feeling, maybe from spirit, that intimacy itself is really important. Not sexual intimacy, but intimacy between two people is still very important. The hugs, the sweetness, the hand-holding at home, the doing little things, the touch, the kiss, those are all still very important, whether there's a lot of sexual activity, but the intimacy is still very important, regardless of how much sexual activity there is. That's feeling your energy, I get on that. What percentage of men over 50 say they have a sex at least 4 times a month, or a few times a month or more, a few times? 5%, 19%, 35, or 53. 5, 19, 35, or 53. I put down 35, and that was the answer. Yes, sexual activity does decline as you get older. We're no longer 22-year-old rabbits, right? Looking, haunting the bars and clubs and places and schools and meetings, you know, even men, as we get older. So, but many seniors shy sexually. Stay sexually active. According to the Kinsey Institute, 25% for men over 50 say they have sexual intercourse a few times a month, and 10% they have intercourse 2 or 3 times a week. Now, that's not a high percentage to be that active. For women, 20% say that they have sex a few times a month, and 7% say they have sex 2 or 3 times a week. It is changing the mentality a little bit, especially if you're older and single, right? That the expectations should be different as you get older about a relationship, especially for men. Kind of jump into a relationship like a 20-year-old, right? I think jumping into a relationship, jumping into a situation, is not about sex, but it's about intimacy. We'll get back to that word. As you get older, it takes longer to get aroused, and the answer is true. That's not even going to go to the true or false thing. As you age, sexual response takes slower. Sexual response time get slower. That doesn't mean you're out of the game, just that your warm-up takes longer. Lubrications, hormone creams, not for women, may help older women. For erectile dysfunction, it's a problem for older men. There are treatments that can help. Couples can also change their sexual behavior. Focus more on longer foreplay, for instance. Yeah, it just takes longer. Well, we'll get into all that article. How many older people say treatments for sexual problems have improved their sex life? And the answer, 22%, 44%, 64%, or 82%. I put 64 and I think I was wrong. Oh, I was right. Most older people who use medications, hormones, and other treatments are satisfied with the results. You know, and we get into this, and I've read a lot of books on this subject, and I find it very fascinating because relationships are really important, and sexuality is really important in a relationship. And there is some kind of compromise here. There is some kind of agreement between two people. And a lack of selfishness is really important here. And it's a lack of, it's about satisfying the other person. It's about meeting the other person's needs, both men and women, right? And once men understand that they will be satisfied when they need it, they will need it less often. Does that make sense? That just comes to me. When men take away the angst of sexuality, and they're not getting it, they're not getting it, they're not getting it, when they know that their partner will help satisfy them in some way, is a willing participant in their satisfaction, the need for satisfaction lessens. Okay, so that's my comment. About two-thirds say that treatments help them to be more satisfied or enjoy sex more, and that help couples too. Half the people with regular partners say treatments for sexual problems have a good effect on their relationships. So it's not being too shy to go to the doctor, to get help, to satisfy your partner, yourself and your partner, to satisfy yourself and your partner. You know, it's never thinking you're never think you're being selfish in doing that. Middle-aged men have sex often are more likely to have a heart attack, and that's false. Actually, it's the opposite. Frequent sex may lessen the risk of heart attack for many men, although there may be slight risk of triggering a heart attack for men. For very sedentary men, one British study found that overall frequent sexual intercourse offers some protection from heart attack. Older men with heart troubles should see their doctors. Yeah. I like that thought about sedentary. If the only exercise you ever get is sex, then you have a problem. But if you're active exercise-wise and involved in walking and whatever you do, other forms of exercise, swimming, some aerobics, you know, you have to gauge and judge yourself how much you can use and how much you're willing to do. Then you're involved in sexual intercourse. Also, it adds to the benefit. Both emotionally, psychologically, physically, and all those things. But you can't expect an older man to be smoking and drinking and sedentary and to have sexual activity without some possible dire outcome, right? Most men who have some kind of erectile dysfunction at some point, most men have some kind of erectile dysfunction at some point in their life, and the answer is true. And it's nothing to get excited about. So it's like, oh my God, I can't get it up. ED, surprisingly common. Nearly 75% have had erectile function at some point by the time they're 70. It can be caused by serious health problems, or some who have ED should see their health care provider to rule out the conditions such as heart disease or diabetes or medications might be causing the problem. In many cases, there are effective solutions, including such drugs as Cialis and for Viagra, and there's other ones they go into. Which medications can cause erectile dysfunction? And this is really, you know, why would I bring this up? And for women who mostly listen to my show, it's good to know if your partner's having problems. You know, I was listening to this article, and, you know, if you're taking some of these medications, that might be part of your problem. You should go see a doctor. Antidepressants, antihistamines, that's really interesting, I didn't know antihistamines, or blood pressure medication. The answer is all of the above, so don't assume ED is due to age. Many common medications cause ED, including antidepressants, antihistamines, and blood pressure medications, painkillers, and antipsychotics, chemotherapy drugs, alcohol, marijuana, and some other over-the-counter heartburn drugs can also cause problems getting an erection. To have knowledge is power, even if it's just for your partner. Hey, you know what? Guess what? I was reading this article, and you know what? This might be cause for your problems. You see the doctor and see if they would say that this is causing part of your problem, right? Aha. available now. I was going to post this on Facebook for those who want to read this later, but it just let me. It's not letting me do that for some reason. Okay, so I was going to try to do that, but it won't let me do it. It says I can go look at it on Facebook, but I don't want to do that. After menopause, women have lower levels of which hormone and estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, or all of the above, and the answer is all of the above. I'm going to go through the rest of these really quick. There's a couple more questions, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time reading all the things. Older men are more likely than older women to be sexually active, and the answer is true. One reason is men are more likely than women to have a sex partner later in life because there are more women than men at older ages. Men also are more likely to marry a younger partner. Isn't that the yeah, okay, we won't get into the older men. The September May weddings or relationships, right? What's the top sexual complaint among women over menopause, after menopause? And the answer is, I believe it's low libido. And that's the answer. Studies have shown that half of the postmenopausal women have lower sex drive. But many women report a lack of desire, are also not troubled by it. Okay. And my opinion, is that their partner no longer works with them on intimacy. If that makes sense. I believe, and I get this from spirit, and if you think about that, the woman's sex drive or libido is affected by her partner's attitude towards her. The indifference. The warmth is no longer there. The confidence that a man can put into a woman or a woman can put into a man, the man's still thinking and treating her as a sexual being in the sense of love, beauty, you know, attractiveness, still finding her attractive, still complimenting her, still doing these things will raise a woman's libido because she needs to feel that she is still sensual in her man's eyes. That's my opinion. That's part of it. It's not the only thing. Of course, there's the hormonal and other conditions and health and other things. But if a man still feels that a woman is very sensual and he respects her at that level, that has a long way of bringing the woman back into raising her libido because she knows that, well, you know, he really respects me at that level. It's normal for healthy older men to have less interest in sex, and the answer is true. Okay, and I'm going to get all the studies on that. Whatever, right? What percentage of people with HIV in the United States are 50 or older? And the percentage is 19%. Surprise, older people are not immune to sexually transmitted diseases. In fact, experts say older people are at greater risk of STDs because they don't know as much about the risks and are less likely than young people to talk about their sexual lives or STDs and or men and stop using condoms with new partners without being tested, having results of tests, right? And men. And because they said that because of Viagra and other drugs, men, sometimes older men will pass on sexually transmitted diseases in certain things such as senior living places because they seek out prostitutes. They seek out women just for sexual activities and then pass that on to women in homes and don't do safe sex practices. Now too old. You know, she's old. You know, older. Don't use a condom anymore. Don't need to. She's gonna have babies. They forget about the sexual. They don't tune themselves in the possibility of sexually transmitted diseases. Get older, you don't think that can happen to you, right? Okay. Frequent sex that has which of the following health benefits? Relieves stress, lowers blood pressure, boosts in the immune system, or all of the above, and the answer is all of the above. Sex is a healthy form of exercise for most older people. Studies show that it can burn fat, boost metabolism, reduce stress, improve heart health, and strengthen bones, muscles, and the immune system. Overall, studies suggest sex can help you live a longer and healthier life. Good stuff, huh? That's why I got this article. I thought it was interesting. interesting. And I probably have covered this material before, something very similar to this. But it's good to be reminded from time to time, because most of the people I talk to are married or have partners and are a little bit older than not the 20-something. You know, you're probably over 40. Probably, I don't know, maybe you're not. But even if you're approaching, that a lot of this stuff is very normal. Very normal. I probably have lost everybody by now. Oh, I only got 4 minutes left, and I went through this whole article. Okay, let me take a quick call, and then I got to end the show. But I got into the article because I think it's really important, and as I change focus here from pure psychic spirituality into self-help, that's a great self-help information. Okay, let me take a call. Hello?
Hello?
Are you there? Hello?
Yes, I am. I'm here. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I just wanted to say that I'm Diana. I'm in Florida.
Yes, Diana.
I think that at 60 years old, the best thing, if you get a partner who will get in the vortex with you and fill up the grid and do deliberate creations and manifesting, and then once you've done all that, you've had a great day, and you'll have no problem in bed at 60. Medicines are
I
not.
Agree with you.
We might, might have to use tuning fork, but to get it going, but that was, it would work
right.
Out good. So I don't want to take your last minute. I'll let you talk.
No, that's good, but I agree with you. It's a vibrational thing. It's getting into that vibration. Because
yes.
If you get into the vibration of love, that love gets expressed in a lot of different ways, doesn't it?
Yes.
Because sexuality is just another form of love. Especially because if you're both in the same vibration together, and both flying at the same high vibration, it's even greater, right?
Right.
And you get into a real tantric situation.
Yeah, and that would be what I would have to have before I would even bother with another man. Someone who understood what I just said.
Good for you. Well, thank you for calling. I appreciate that. And, yeah.
Thank you
I'm
for
sure
your show.
I'm sure there's a lot more people out there that believe the same thing. I'm gonna let you go, but I have a comment on that, too. Okay.
Okay.
Have a good one.
You too.
Okay, I think I just left that. Okay, cool. You know, that's interesting, that what you said. In relationships and developing relationships and trying to find somebody, a partner, that you really need to have somebody who is a vibrational match to you. If you're a high-flying vibrational individual and you're attracting yourself these low-vibrational negative people, you're not going to bring them up. They're going to just drag you down. So you really need If you're conscious about living it from a high vibration, living in the vortex, as she explained in the Abraham material, you need to attract partners at that level. If you're in a low vibrational place, raise your vibration. Raise your consciousness. And the more you raise your consciousness, the more you're going to attract those of higher consciousness. And you won't settle for those low vibrational negative in your life. So I got about a minute and a half, that is so true in relationships. And people miss that. You go out on dates, and you want to do this, you want to go that, you get older, and you go, I need a relationship. I have a friend in the chat room. Intimacy. Well, you have to find intimacy with somebody at a vibrational place that you're at. And it's best to raise your consciousness, your vibration, so that you're attracting somebody who, like you, is process of manifesting love, and the process of manifesting kindness, consideration, empathy for others. If you can match up in those energies, you're in a really good place. So I've changed format on the show, and I've kind of switched to this self-help thing because I think it's really important. You can use all the spiritual principles, but it's about living a higher consciousness life. That's how I put it. I will not be here tomorrow. I have personal things to do. I will be back on Wednesday. We'll refocus on this. I don't know what topic. It's going to be about the soul, sub-level of doing soulfulness in your life. But I thank you for listening. Those who discover my show through the archive version, I really appreciate it. And stay tuned. We'll get into all kinds of interesting topics related to raising your consciousness. So it's been fun. Different. feels good. Feels really good to go this direction. Thank you. And have a great Monday. Have a great week. Bye. Love you guys.